We're going to probably start in Ephesians 2, if you want to be turning there. Ephesians chapter number 2 is where we're going to be first. And we're going to continue a series we're doing over the summer where we are basically uncovering Satan's plan of evil. And we're going to trace this, and we're going to see throughout the Bible his plan, but how God has always counteracted that plan. You know, I was thinking about this today. I thought, you know, it's one thing to have a plan in your mind, but it's quite another thing to actually implement your plan and then do the necessary steps to see it come to pass. You know, I was thinking about eLife. You know, we started a thing called Equip for Life, and we started that last August, and we did a semester of it up until the holidays, took a break, and then we did another semester, and we just finished up a few weeks ago. And that's why we're unified right now in the summer, is we're taking a little break from that. But in the fall, we're going to have 9 incredible classes that we're going to offer again. But the Equip for Life was a major thing. We incorporated the dinners on Wednesday night and all the classes which needed instructors, and then the teens and the kids have their thing. And I remember that was a plan that I had up here. And I'd had it up there for quite a while. But, you know, I just put it off. I didn't implement. And then finally last year, I thought, I'm going to do this. And so we began step by step doing the things necessary to implement the plan. Then it came to pass. And, man, it was just awesome. And I think everybody enjoyed it so much. And, you know, so it's one thing to have a plan up here in your mind. Another thing to implement it. It's, guys, be honest, have you guys ever had an idea for a home project and you had it up here, but it never materialized? You ever had that happen, huh, anybody? And can I make a suggestion? If you ever get an idea for a home improvement or a home project up here, don't ever verbalize it to your wife, okay? Because then you're going to get peppered with questions over and over about when you're going to do it, right? And she's going to keep asking you, when are you going to do that? When are you going to do that? And but yeah, it's one thing to have it up here, and then it's another thing to actually do it, you know, and implement the idea. Well, last week, we examined Satan's plan of evil. We examined that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. And his plan of evil was composed of 5 I wills. There were 5 resolutions that he made in his heart of what he was going to do. And let's bring it up on the screen as a review here. He said, I will ascend into heaven. And then number 2, I will exalt my throne above the stars. Number 3, I'm going to sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Number 4, he said, I'm going to ascend above the heights. Number 5, and this was the, all those were leading up to the ultimate objective. And he said, I will be like, and who did he want to be like? The Most High. I will be like the Most High. This was the, these are the 5 I wills. Now, Satan said those things, the Bible says, in his heart. In his heart. So he would have to devise a plan of implementations. Like I said, it's one thing to have a plan up here. It's another thing then to have a plan of implementation. Satan knew that he had to have a plan of implementation. So how would he put into effect, and how would he put this plan into effect, and how would he become like the Most High? And you remember, we trace that, Genesis 14, that term, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. He said, I want to be like the Most High. Now, we pointed out last week, he didn't say, I want to be God. That's not what he said. He didn't want to say, I want to be the Most High. He said, I want to be like the Most High. Satan's plan did not involve trying to get rid of God or trying to make God not exist. We know the devils believe in God and tremble. We know that they know there is a God. They know that they're not going to be able to do away with God. Satan's plan was not to try to make God not exist, you know, or make God go away. No, that wasn't it. He knew he couldn't do that. He said, I want to be like the Most High. In other words, possessor of heaven and earth. He wanted control. He wanted power. He wanted authority. That was the key. He wanted control. He wanted to be in control of the operations of heaven and earth. He wanted to be in the driver's seat. He wanted to be the one calling the shots. He wanted to be the one that the angels looked to. He wanted to be the one that could implement his desires, his will, receive the glory, have the power, have the authority. He was on a power kick, you know? And so Satan wanted control of the operations of the government of heaven and earth. Now, in order to do that, he needed to lay claim upon the right to exercise his authority. And he would also need to recruit others to be in league with him and align themselves with him. In other words, he needed an army. He needed some recruits. He needed some people, some subjects that would work under him and work with him to accomplish that five I will objective that he had there, the ultimate being to be like the Most High. He needed folks to work with him. Now, there are two specific titles that are given to Satan in the Bible in view of his implementation of his plan of evil. There are two very important titles that I want to bring up on the screen. Number one is he's called the Prince of the Power of the Air. And number two, he is called the Prince of this world. The Prince of the Power of the Air, and he's called the Prince of this world. You'll notice right away, both of these titles have what word in them? That's not a trick question. I know, don't say of, okay? Of, no. What's the word again? What is it? Prince. What's a prince? Well, let's bring it up on the screen. The word prince, it means a governing ruler, one who rules over a defined domain, exercising authority over the persons who dwell there. In other words, it's somebody in charge. And that's what I told you is his goal. He wants to be in charge. He wants to be in control of the operations of heaven and earth. And so a prince lays claim to a specific realm. He occupies a seat of authority, a throne. Now, it's important to know, we can leave this up here for a minute, okay, until I tell you to take that away. Well, let's go ahead and leave that there. It's important to note, church, Satan was not created a prince by God. He was not created a prince. He was created, we looked at this a couple weeks ago, we looked at who Satan was before he was Satan. Satan means adversary. Before he became the adversary of God, he was called Lucifer. It means bright, morning star, light. And we know that before Satan became Satan, he was the anointed cherub of God. He had a very high position in the angelic realm. And so he was not created a prince. However, to succeed with his plan of evil, the five I wills, he needed to establish himself as a ruler, both in the heavenly places and in the earth. He needed a hold on those places, and he needed creatures in those places who would give their allegiance to him. And that's exactly what he did with the prince titles here being a result of what he did. Now, it's important to note this here at the offset of the lesson tonight is that these are not titles that Satan just simply called himself. I don't want you to get the idea he's just boasting, prideful, arrogant, thinks that's what he is, and so he called himself the Prince of the Power of the Air and the Prince of this world. No. No, Paul called Satan the Prince of the Power of the Air. Ephesians 2:2. We're going to look at it in a minute. And Jesus Christ himself called Satan the prince of this world. So these are not just, self-appointed titles that Satan gave himself. These are titles that the Bible give to him. Paul calls him the prince of the power of the air. Jesus calls him the prince of this world. Now, that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at the implementation of Satan's plan of evil, those five I wills. How's he going to implement it? How's he going to accomplish it? Those two titles are going to give us the key to understanding it, all right? Let's look at Ephesians 2:2, and let's look at the first one. It says there, Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom Also, we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, that title, Prince of the Power of the, say it with me, what? Air. That right there, just the title is revealing. Air speaks of the invisible realm of God's creation that surrounds us. Just like the air, we know it's there, but it's invisible. Well, Satan exerts his rulership in the realm of things like the air that's unseen by us, but is real nonetheless, and it is organized nevertheless. It is the realm of the angelic beings. We cannot, with human eyes, see that other world. We cannot see that other world. We cannot see that heavenly realm, that angelic realm. We cannot see it with human eyes. But is it there? Yes, we know that it's there. Just like the air, it's invisible to us, but we know it's there. And Paul, in fact, you're in Ephesians. Go two books to the right. Okay, go to Colossians. Two books to the right. And go to Colossians chapter number 1. And here Paul speaks of this invisible realm. Colossians 1, and we're going to look at verse 16. Colossians 1, verse number 16. For by him, by Jesus Christ, were all things created that are, and what is the next two words? In heaven, and that are where? In earth. Now notice he says visible, but then there are things he created that are what? Invisible. Whether they be, and here we go, thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Now think about this, church. The thrones, the dominions, principalities, and powers. That speaks of governmental positions of rank and authority. Those powers on earth are visible to us, right? We see those. I mean, we see the president. We know how our power structure is here in the United States of America. We have a president. We have a vice president. We have senators. We have House of Representatives. Each state has a power structure. And you got the governor. And you got the senators in the state. And you got the representatives. And you've got the different municipal authorities within counties and within the city. And we can see them. You can go online and you can do a search engine and you could go there and you could type in pretty much any country in the world and it's going to show you the power structure. It's going to show you who fills those ranks of authority and position in that country. And probably you can even get a picture of those people. So the power structure on earth, that's something that's visible to us. We can see that. But the Bible says that there are governmental positions of rank and authority in the heavenlies that we cannot see. It's like the air, okay? And they are filled by the angelic host. These are the invisible things that Paul's talking about that God created. There are positions. That's why he said dominions, principalities, powers, thrones. There are positions that form the government of the heavenly realm. And that's the power of the air that Paul refers to when he calls him the prince of the power of the air. There is a power structure in the air. In the invisible realm of the heavenlies, there is a power structure that's of the air, okay, that's in the heavenlies. Now, Satan knew that he needed to possess dominion over that heavenly realm if he were to be like the Most High, if he was to have that position of authority. He would need subjects who would give them their allegiance and give to him servitude. Now, the Bible does not give us a detailed report of what happened to make him the prince of the power of the air, like it does on the earth. We have a pretty detailed account, don't we, of what happened, and we're going to look at that tonight in the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve and all that. That we see that. The Bible doesn't really give us a detailed account of how he became the prince of the power of the air, how he was able to usurp that heavenly position. But it does give us kind of some broad stuff where we can kind of gain a solid understanding of how Satan usurped dominion of the heavenly places and became prince of the power of the air. I'm going to bring it up on the screen. We looked at this a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to bring these back up. This is from Ezekiel 28, all right? The context here is Satan and his fall and how iniquity was found in his heart. Now look at this. It says, by the multitude of thy, and what's that next word? Merchandise. They have filled the midst of thee with violence. He's filled with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, God said, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. He lost that position he had as the anointed cherub. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy, and that's what we said, right? He was what? Beautiful. He was beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Remember, Lucifer means brightness, morning star. He said, I will cast thee to the ground. I'll lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Let's go to the next verse. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary. So there were places he had access, all right, that he defiled them all by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy, you remember that word merchandise? Okay, remember that word, and then what's this word? Of thy what? Traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Now, let's just call time out here a second, and let's talk about that. Satan, evidently, from what we can gather, he began to go out to the angels, and he began to market his plan of revolt. He had the five I wills. He had the plan in place. I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to be in charge. And he goes out and he begins to market that plan of revolt among the angelic host. The words merchandise that we read and the word traffic right here are the same Greek words. And they literally mean to trade, to peddle. Satan was the first mass marketer. You knew there was a biblical reason why you couldn't stand telemarketers, right? You knew there was a biblical reason. You just didn't know what it was, right? And by the way, if you're in marketing, I'm kidding. All right, I'm just teasing. But yeah, he's the first door-to-door salesman, or should we say angel-to-angel salesman. All right? He goes out and begins marketing his plan of rebellion and revolt. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. Why would an angel buy into that? Satan is a master deceiver. Remember, he was the most beautiful and the wisest of all of the angelic beings. He goes out, begins to traffic, merchandise his plan. He convinces scores of angels that he is indeed going to succeed in his plan to be like the Most High. In other words, he goes out, convinces them he's going to be in charge of things. He sold them a bill of goods. Just like Eve, he makes big promises. Remember he told Eve in the garden, oh, God doesn't want you to take that fruit because he knows that the day you do that, you'll be like him. He just doesn't want you to be like him. And you know, you eat that, you'll be like God. And so he deceives Eve, and in the same way, he makes big promises, I'm sure, to the angels. And he goes out and hey, I'm going to be in charge, and you know what? If you want to be, you know, you want to move up in rank and position, you better come with me. And so I'm sure he promised the angels all kinds of things. And so he makes big promises. By the way, do you think that still happens today in our world? Politicians make big promises to get votes. They don't always follow through, do they? Right? Businesses try to lure one employee away from one company, so they make big promises to that employee, and then sometimes they don't come through. My brother left a position he'd been at in St. Louis. Designs bridges, and he left a company he'd been with since he was like, I don't know, 18, 19, 20 years old, left to go to a company in Kansas City, made all kinds of promises to lure him away from the one in St. Louis, and none of the promises, hardly any of them, came through. You know, that happens. And that's exactly, and just like we are deceived, just like we read all this literature about this product, and they make all these promises about this product, and then you get the product, and you go, that wasn't what they said. Do we ever get deceived? Oh, sure we do. Yeah. This is guaranteed to get any stain out of your clothes. You apply it, and then there's a big hole. Yeah, I got the stain out because there's a big hole right there, you know. It burned a hole. The stain's gone, though, just like they said. But, you know, Satan goes out and makes real big promises. Well, guess what? He found a ready market among the angelic hosts. And I don't know that I can really prove it. It's one of those things, Wade. But, you know, I think that, I don't know that I can prove this, but I think most of the high-ranking positions in the angelic host followed Satan in his rebellion against God. Go to Ephesians. I'll show you why. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verse 11. Ephesians 6:11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:11, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against. Now notice this. This is a term describing the ones that followed Satan. We're wrestling as Christians against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wicked in high. That word high is the same word translated heavenly. Heavenly places. High places. Now, sometime you could do a study. Daniel chapter 10 is pretty fascinating. If you read that, in the last verse of that, talks about how that Michael, the chief prince, only is with me. I know some of you are thinking, you know, well, why in the world would an angel want to follow Satan? Why wouldn't they just stay with God? For the same reason people rebel against God today. For the same reason. Exact same stuff, self-will, selfishness, discontentment with what you have, craving to get what rightfully belongs to somebody else. Same reasons people do it today. Satan became the prince of the power of the air. He had dominion over a populace of heavenly creatures that were at enmity with God. He put himself in the position for being able to function as the possessor of heaven, that is heaven's government, and hence be like the Most High in that realm. By usurping that heavenly governmental structure, Satan had one half of what he needed. Now he would turn his attention to the realm of earth, the visible things. He's called the prince of the world. Now go back to Genesis 1, all right? Let's go back to the first chapter of the Bible. The dominion of the earth was given to man at creation. Let me say that again. The dominion of this earth was created. The earth was created. Man was the crowning glory of God's creation, day 6. And man is given dominion over the earth. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Remember how Satan wants to be like the Most High? Man was created, the Bible says, after God's likeness. And let them have dominion. What that simply means is that man would have intellect. Man would have volition and the ability to make choices and the ability to use a free will. Man would be like the Most High, see, and was going to be given that dominion and be able to make choices and things. And he says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, look up here. The dominion of the earth is given to man. Man was distinct from all the rest of creation. Man was made in God's own image and likeness and could actually fellowship with God. Man had the ability, again, not like animals. A man can think, man can reason, and man was given that ability to have that intellect, to be able to have daily interaction with God, and through that daily interaction, man would exercise dominion on the earth and would administer God's will on the earth. Look at verse 28. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So, church, man was given the governorship, if you will, of this earth. The Garden of Eden was a plush and beautiful place where man could kind of set up headquarters there and administer God's purposes in the earth. We see Adam exercising that dominion in Genesis 2. Flip over there with me. Genesis 2:19 and 20. The Bible says, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Of course, God creates woman. But here we see man exercising that dominion, making choices, using volition, using his free will. And it's through God's creation of mankind that God's authority as the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, would be established in the earth. God already had a structure in the heavens. We talked about that, the angelic host, that which is invisible to man. But then God would have man, and God would be the possessor of heaven and earth, and he would establish that position on earth through man. He would work through man. Well, that setup did not please Satan. We said last week, we cannot prove it, but it's very possible that after the creation of man and after mankind is given that dominion over the earth, Satan could have been filled with jealousy, probably was. And you remember he wanted to be like the Most High. He's thinking, here's man been created out of the dust, but look at me. Man, we talked about how beautiful Satan was, and we explained that a couple of weeks ago about how he was created and the beauty and the wisdom. He's thinking, man, if anybody can display God's likeness on the earth, it's me. And so he's not pleased with this setup. He wants control. He doesn't want man to have dominion. He wants dominion. He wants control. He wants to be like the Most High. Satan knew that his plan of evil required that he usurp the governmental structure of earth like he did the heavens. This earthly prince, man, Adam, this earthly prince would need to be brought in league with Satan and in rebellion against God. Thus we have Genesis 3. And it's sad. But Genesis 3, you know, look at that, verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so, upon Adam's direct transgression of God's command in partaking of the fruit, he too became a rebellious sinner against God. Sin entered the earth as it had already done in the heavenlies, through Satan's rebellion. Mankind joined in on the rebellion. The ramification of Adam's sin went beyond the personal consequences of death. When we think of Adam's sin and the consequences, we think of physical death, spiritual death, you know, sickness, pain, sweat, toil, fitness for the wrath of God, and all those things. But it goes even deeper than that. Satan, now by usurping this position through trickery, through deceit, through scheming, he becomes the prince of this world. Through the fall of man, the claim to dominion of the earth fell into the hands of Satan. Adam and Eve are expelled from the garden, alienated from God, at enmity with God. No longer could they function in God's presence and fulfill God's original plan for them. Adam was no longer the rightful monarch of the earth. Satan now bears the title, the prince of the world. The title deed to this earthly kingdom was lost by man to Satan. And I want to remind you, it was Jesus who addressed Satan as the prince of this world during his earthly ministry. Up on the screen, you'll see John 14:30. Jesus said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. Let's go to the next one, John 16:8-11. It says, and when he is come, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then it goes on in verse 11 to say, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Go to Luke chapter 4. This is the last passage we'll look at. Luke chapter number 4. Doesn't our time go fast in here on Wednesday nights? Luke chapter 4, and look at verse 5. This is a familiar story about Satan coming and tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. 40 days, he's tempted of the devil, verse 2. Let's skip down here for time's sake. Let's go to verse 5. Luke 4:5. And the devil, taking him up, taking Jesus up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the, what? World, in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this, and remember, what's Satan all about? What? Power, right? It's not that he's trying to be God. It's that he wants to be like the Most High. He wants power. He wants control. He wants to be in the driver's seat. And look, it says here, verse number 6, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Satan laid claim to them as that which belonged unto him. It's interesting, Jesus did not dispute Satan's claim. If it were not true, Satan's temptation would have been empty, it would have been hollow. Jesus' response would have been quite different. But the temptation was legit. The claim was true. That deliverance to Satan obviously happened at Adam's fall, when Adam fell into sinful rebelliousness against God. Mankind, like I said, lost that title deed to the world, to the earth. Satan was, in fact, the possessor of all the kingdoms of the world. He's the one that's behind him. It's his spirit. They had been delivered unto him. He was the prince, as Jesus said, the prince of this world. By the way, it's interesting the way this is worded. I hadn't even planned on sharing this. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's interesting over here. Turn it real quick. Revelation 11, I'll just show you this. It's an interesting cross-reference. Talking about the kingdoms of this world. That's the exact phrase that's used there with Satan. I was thinking about this today, and I forgot to write it down, but I knew where it was. Revelation 11, 15. When Jesus Christ returns to the earth one day, as prophecy says will happen, notice what the issue is. Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, and there's that exact same phrase, the kingdoms of what? This world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Aren't you glad that, you know what? Satan's definitely won some battles, but aren't you glad we know who's going to win the war? You know? But here's my point tonight. Please stay with me 2 minutes. With the acquisition of the earthly realm, as well as the heavenly realm, Satan had provided for putting his plan of evil into effect. Let's bring back up that first screen again. Go back to that first screen. We're going to go back to this one, okay? Thank you, Sharon. Let's go back to that very first screen that we had up, all right? The five I wills, and just bring them up real quick. You don't have to bring them up one by one. But there they are. That's Satan's plan. Now, Satan says, I've got to implement my plan. I've got to acquire the earthly realm, the heavenly realm. I need a position of authority. I need a position of control and power. Implementing his plan to be like the Most High required substantial possession of both heavenly and earthly territories, along with creatures in both realms who were in league with him, over whom he could exercise his will. And of course, he got that in the angelic host, many of them, and he got that in man. I mean, look, have y'all read the morning newspaper, huh? He's got a lot of people in league with him on this earth. Have y'all noticed that, huh? Have you noticed we're in the minority, huh? Yeah, most of mankind has joined right in with Satan, and they are his subjects. And the Bible says he's the god of this world, little g. He is the one pulling the strings. And so he knew he had to have that, and that's what he did. He says, I need creatures in the heavenly realm, earthly realm, that can be in league with me, over whom I can exercise my will. And this he came to possess as he trafficked in iniquity, defiling both realms with his rebellion against God. You see, sometimes we think, and I know some of you may be asking the question, I thought heaven was a pure, perfect place. The Bible teaches that there are levels of heaven. Jesus Christ ascended up far above all heavens. There are heavens. There are different levels. And while Satan does not have access into the throne room of God now, into the New Jerusalem that God has created as his throne room, all right, we know God created that, and Satan does not have access to that. But Satan had access to the heavenly realm, still does. That's why the Bible says we're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high heavenly places. He doesn't have access into that third heaven where God dwells, but the first, second heaven, he's the prince of the power of the air, Paul said. And so he trafficked in iniquity and he defiled both realms. And by the way, I'll just throw this out. It's interesting. When the plan of redemption to redeem the heavens and the earth, that plan of redemption, of course, revolving around the cross work of Jesus Christ as he makes a full and complete atonement for sin so that the heavens and earth can be cleansed, right? Well, it's interesting that God reclaims the heavens first in Revelation. Midway into the tribulation, 3.5 years later, he reclaims the earthly kingdoms. That's a whole other story, all right? That's free. We're not going to even charge you for that tonight, all right? But let's go up to that last screen now, Sharon. And notice that his plan is activated. We saw the plan last week. Now we see his plan activated. How? Well, let's bring up the first click. He, in the heavenly realm, he becomes the prince of the power of the air. And then his plan is activated on earth in the earthly realm, and he becomes the prince of this world. He's now in position to realize his objective to establish and occupy those thrones of authority and dominion we talked about last week, to function from those positions and to be like the Most High. Question, how did God respond to Satan's implementation of this plan of evil? How did God respond? Did he just sit by and watch? No, God responded to both.